So, Kevin, we're just going to give you some time this morning. We don't feel constrained by time. We want to hear what God is doing in your life. So just give us an update and just whatever's on your heart, I will make my sermon shorter accordingly. So, you know what? I will just give time because I feel God has brought you here to share something about the work of God. So, you know what? Take it over.
Well, you're quite fortunate in the fact that Doug is the one that got blessed with the gift of gab. So you're not going to hear two sermons today. I just want to thank you as a church and as individuals for praying for me and for my family. A year ago today, I could have stayed, could have been up here, and life was normal. Right? You just go from day to day, just doing your thing. You know, get up, go to work, come home, so on and so forth. And just about 9 months ago, the doctor came in and said, you have stage 4 pancreatic cancer. Stage 4, for those of you that don't know, means that it has already spread to other organs. And they call pancreatic cancer the silent killer because it almost has you before you know that it's there. Very, very hard to diagnose. The doctor said, without treatment, you have approximately 6 months. 6 months to live. So that was 9 months ago. And since that time, I've been doing chemotherapy treatment. I haven't quite lost all of my hair. The chemotherapy treatment every 2 weeks. I tell people, yeah, I'm going to the city to get my shot of poison for the time. And so we've been doing that. And since that time, the tumor has been shrinking, which you praise God for. It has shrunk to approximately, as of the last MRI, 60% of the original size. So I keep telling people that when people ask what I'm doing, I say, well, we're following the doctor's instruction to do treatments. We're praying, talking to God. Because he's the one in charge. So yeah, so we're carrying on the medical treatments as we can. But God is good. God provides in so many different ways. When I have a farm in Saskatchewan. So when I got sick, we still had pile of cattle around. We still have a whole bunch of cattle around today. But the neighbors, various neighbors, were good to come in, do chores. Doug was home for a while. He would help him out on the farm. Our community did a fundraiser for us. Just some of my friends, my son's friends, started. He's 15 years old. They raised enough money in one fundraiser for a year's worth of salary. There's never our community has done various fundraisers, but for whatever reason, none quite that big before. So yeah, so we praise God for taking care of our physical needs. We praise God for the people praying for us. There is people from all across Canada, all across the states, all across the world praying for us. We have friends in Italy. Doug and Haley's daughter, Caitlin, was in Australia. They were praying for us. We have friends and relatives in California and all the way from Ontario to BC. And we thank each of them for praying for us, for the strength to continue carrying on. And yeah, just, it's a daily thing too. You know, you get up and you just go on. It's often harder it is harder on my wife than it is on me. Because I said for me, dying's not a big deal. Right? If I die, I don't have any worries left in this earth. I've gone to heaven. But it's those that you leave behind that you fight. Doug asked me an interesting question yesterday. I forget exactly how it went, but it's kind of like, what is it like living with a terminal illness? Because the doctor said, he goes, your cancer's you're never going to get rid of it. It's terminal, in his professional opinion. So Doug asked me that question, and I said, to be honest, I don't think about that. I live each day like I'm still planning on waking up tomorrow, and that's another day. And just to live normality. Of when I was sick, a friend of mine would come up to the city to pick me up and take me home one day. And so we were having a conversation in the theater. And I said, it gives you a very different perspective on life. You have to live each day as if it's the last, but yet plan for the next 4 years. And I said, each of us really should be living that way. Because nobody has any guarantee that they're going to make it home after the service today. In August, a friend of mine and his son the grandfather were out for a drive one afternoon. My friend was 42 years old. Son was 16. Son was driving the car. They got rear-ended. A very fast vehicle behind them. They were both instantly killed. They didn't know it was coming. Whereas the rest of us, it gives the rest of us the chance to continue carrying on and living for God. And living and telling others about God, and that without a faith, without a reason to carry on in life, why? Without a faith in God, what reason do you have to? And you can look around at your neighbors and you can see that they're struggling. They don't know why they're living except for the next good time. So I'd just like to thank you guys again for praying for me and my family. And continue to pray for us as we continue on this journey. And hopefully, in God's time, we'll be able to come back and see you again. being completely healed. I tell people that God made us, God can fix us. Right? Just a snap of a finger.
How many kids do you have?
3, a 17-year-old girl and a 15 and 13-year-old boys.
Okay. And so you live just outside of Mooseman? Is that?
Yeah, two miles outside of Mooseman.
Next time you drive the number 1 highway east, when you get past Mooseman, just wave at him.
Just before Mooseman.
Just before Mooseman, okay. Start waving just before. Can we just bow in a word of prayer together and pray for our brother and for his family? Lord, you have deemed that it would be good that Kevin be with us today. And we have received the gift being encouraged by his words. And to be reminded, why am I living? What's my purpose? And if this should be my last day, am I living the way it should? And am I ready to meet you? We're so grateful, Lord, for Kevin's testimony. Lord, that there was a time in his life, early in his life, when he said yes to the Lord Jesus Christ, invited Jesus to come into his life. Come and be his Lord and Savior, forgive him his sins, give him the gift of everlasting life. He's been living that out for years. When the dark days come, we know what we really believe. When it gets tested. And Lord, we're so grateful for what we see. We see your life in him. And through him. And God, we pray will continue to be that. His neighbors and the community of Mooseman will see the power, the life, and the love of Christ. They will be challenged about their own purpose in life. Lord, that in this, in his own way, he can be a John the Baptist in his own community and say, behold the Lamb of God. That he can point people to Jesus. And so, again, we commit to you his health, his well-being. We know that his times are in your hand. We trust. We trust in your plan. We know that all your ways are righteous, your word says. So, thank you for what you're doing in his life. We pray for his wife, his sweetheart, his 3 kids. God, that they too will find you to be sufficient for all their thoughts, all their anxieties, and all their needs, Lord. Just come and continue to be Lord of this home, Lord of this journey. And we just look forward, Lord, to the various things and ways, Lord, you will continue to lead Kevin in your way. And Lord, we pray that through this, some of his neighbors would come to know Christ. Lord, that all your plans and your purposes for him, for his family, and the community will be accomplished for your glory's sake. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.